This episode of China Money Podcast is sponsored by Lehman Brown, a China accounting, audit, and advisory firm. Golden Gate, a law firm providing a full range of legal services in China. Covert Limited, a leading internet privacy tool. And 51mice.com, a comprehensive online platform for meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions in China. Please go to our website, chinamoneynetwork.com, and click on our sponsors links. Thank you so much, everyone, for your support. Hello, everyone. Welcome to China Money Podcast. I'm your host, Nina Xiang. Our guest today is Grant Horsfield, founder of the Shanghai-based Naked Group that operates resorts, co-working space, and other lifestyle products. Naked Hub, the co-working space unit, just raised $33 million from Gao Capital and other investors last month. Grant shared his vision for what's next for Naked Hub, how his belief for the future of co-working is so different from others, and the darkest moment during the early days when he tried to build the first resort outside of Shanghai. We spoke in Hong Kong last week. Here is our conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, Grant. Welcome to China Money Podcast.
Hi, Nina. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much, and thank you for taking the time to talk to me. So first, congratulations on securing funding from Gao Capital. So what's next for Naked Hubs, the co-working space unit you just developed?
Well, I think we have a plan to grow across Asia give our members more access to more markets. To be able to utilize spaces in different parts of the cities too, but also to innovate in our business, to try to make our business not just about work, but about 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., you know, what matters in the life of everyday person. So we're looking at things like wellness and you know, physical and mental well-being and how important that is to our own personal, our own colleagues in our company and also our members.
I read somewhere you're planning to open maybe 20.
Yeah, we'll have almost 12 open. I think we'll have 11 open by the end of the year, and we'll have 20. We're opening another 24 next year. I think we'll be around about 36 at the end of next year. 36 locations.
That's an aggressive expansion plan.
Yeah, it is. But you know, if you do things in China, you have to do things at a certain speed and a certain scale. China is like a behemoth. It's like a big animal. It just keeps moving and it runs really, really fast. So to stay relevant, you need to develop your business in that kind of speed.
But that's kind of a different mood comparing to the first 8 years of your existence. You have been doing since 2007 the Naked brand until 2015. That's when you really started aggressive expansion. Why? Like, how did this 2015 was different?
Well, no, we resorts take a long time to build. So, you know, Naked, the one that we're opening right now, Naked Castle, has taken me 5 years to build. I think it was in about 2013 that we started to push the growth of the resort business. So we signed a number of new resorts, and there was a definite change. But you don't see it come to the market because some of them take 3, 4, 5 years to come to the market. So now we have so many projects under development. But you're right. In 2015, we decided to enter the co-working space. We were just testing, and we built one space, and people loved it.
Can I ask, at this moment, was it driven by your client's demand, or was it driven by what you saw, what other people were?
Both.
WeWork and
okay. Both. I mean, no, firstly, our clients moved into our place. We opened long before WeWork in China, in Shanghai, and we were full and buzzing, and we were like, wow, this is so much fun. And it's like happiness, because we build it, and it's 3 months and it's open, and you know, resort took me 5 years. It's like instant satisfaction, like chocolate.
And which year was that?
That was 2015.
2015, okay. Yeah.
So last year. And we opened our first place in November last year. Yeah. So we're literally only a year old.
Are you a little bit concerned about how fast you're growing?
No, not at all. I mean, I deeply believe that office space is changing this isn't a case of like we're trying to create a new market. If I was trying to create a new market, I'd be worried. Is there really a market there? No, what we're doing is we're just creating cooler, better, more economical office spaces. And there's billions of square meters of office space in the world. So I think there's going to be a natural migration from people that are in typical office space to a cooler shared office space in, solution. So no, I'm not in any way worried about the speed at which we grow. I think that the biggest concern I have is the education in the market, making sure people understand what it is that we're trying to offer.
So there are a lot of Chinese startups, actually, especially in the past 18 months that's been started, including your work, Mesh Space, maybe 5 or 6 that got venture funding already, a massive amount of venture funding. Are the market like overcrowded, you think?
Well, to be honest, none of these competitors in China are doing similar to what we're doing.
Okay, I'll just say, take your work. Your work. Do you know your work?
Yeah, I know your work. Mao Daoxing, yeah.
Yeah, Mao Daoxing.
I know him very well, and I know him personally. Mm-hmm. I think that what he's doing is like a budget hotel, and we're doing like a 5-star hotel. So, you know, when he rolls out his spaces, it's very, you know, nothing wrong with what I'm saying. He literally spends 1,000 RMB per square meter, and then he charges less than 1,000 RMB for a seat. So, you know, this, in my belief, is not the future, because this is not converting someone from a traditional office to a co-working office. What he's providing for is a startup. So he's providing a what we had in the Western world, we called it a garage. Instead of using an office, we used our garage. But now what, because they don't have garages in China, so he's providing a garage. I don't believe that's the future of co-working. I think the future of co-working is moving HSBC from their ugly office into a cool office, or Coca-Cola or Budweiser or Douban. You know Douban? They moved to Naked.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we talk about.
Yeah, maybe the future is a combination of both.
Yes and no. I don't fully understand how to make the economics work of the budget experience, because firstly, when you fill out a place for 1,000 RMB, it's going to fall apart very soon. So it's a very low cost, low budget, and therefore the quality of the environment is not very good. So I challenge that too. I would rather like to see, someone that fills out the place at a better quality, because I mean, caring about the environment. There's nothing worse than I hate than people build something and have to fix it again and fix it. It's wasting the environment's resources. I'd rather see a company like a big company like Cisco sponsor or another company to create a cool space, to create a lab for startups to work in for free. So let's make it more like a laboratory or innovation hub or whatever the case may be. Not make people pay 800 RMB.
So what do you think will happen to those venture-funded co-working space startups? Do you feel, you know, they will fade out and they will be bought or they will fail?
I think there will be a consolidation of sorts. There's definitely going to be some of them are already merging together. I think, Mao Daoqing is already started trying to consolidate some of the Beijing space. Another company just went bankrupt just a couple of weeks ago in Beijing. So, you know, we just launched in Shanghai and Xintiandi the most expensive co-working location ever in China. And it's almost full occupancy. It's growing so fast. So we're seeing that there's huge demand at a much higher price point. That's 5 times more expensive than what your work sell a seat for.
So who do you think will be your key competitor, WeWork?
No, I don't think WeWork can be a key competitor for us. I don't think they can move fast enough in China. They will always be an important player to set the quality, to set the standards, try and push us to be better. I don't know who's going to be the... You know, I'll give credit to... 3Q, they have a place in Beijing. I think it's phenomenal. My friend designed it, in fact, Vincent from AIM. Their place in Guanghualu, I think, is pretty cool. But then again, they don't care about the community. Jiangxing openly says, we're not necessarily about the community. You know, so you know they're not really putting the effort and energy into trying to create what we think of as a true co-working environment. But I think some of the product that they put out is a higher quality than what we've seen typically in the market. There isn't anyone in China today that really stands out as a higher end quality product. And I mean it from the deepest part of my heart. The future of shared office and co-working office is migrating traditional office into the space, not just trying to provide for startups.
And you have full confidence that you can fill up nearly 40 new spaces.
If I could build 50 in the same time, I would fill them too. I just can't build them as fast. I mean, so we can only build at the speed at which we can build.
Okay. So maybe we could look at this as co-working space developing, sort of following the footsteps of shared accommodation like Airbnb.
Mm.
But what kind of regulatory backlash do you feel this industry might face in China?
Well, it's never good to try and speculate on what's going to happen in China. It's still a gray area today. They're not really sure how to manage this this environment. But there are innovations. Working with different local governments already. In Shanghai, on how to register companies and how to overcome certain hurdles that need to be there. Backlash. I don't see an obvious backlash the likes that Uber and Didi would have had, or even Airbnb.
Well, just like Didi, this new rideshare regulation, was released, and it has huge impact on their business. Do you?
Yeah. In China, we say that every day there's a hurdle. We must just overcome that hurdle today and not try to look too far into the future, because things have changed so much in China. If you really try to plan for what you think might happen, you maybe never do anything.
I just want to be get a little bit more specifics on the Gao Capital investment.
Sure.
Is it only for the Naked Hub division?
Yes.
It's not for the whole group, right?
Just for the Hub division, yeah.
And Is it possible to disclose the range of the investment? Is it in the tens of millions?
Or? Yeah, I think we've disclosed that we raised $33 million.
You did disclose?
I believe we've disclosed that. Yes.
Oh, okay, good. So I missed it. You also are expanding the other operations, including the resorts.
Yeah.
Did you raise outside funding for those operations?
No, we haven't. And still.
Are totally self-funded?
Yes.
Okay, let's just look forward 10 years into the future. Where do you see your company will be at, and, IPO, or what's your thinking on?
We think differently from most companies. We think about brand. What really matters to us is Luo Xing, and we want Luo Xing to be synonymous with quality, with service, with a great experience in your lifestyle, not just your life, your all your lifestyle, what you do, how you do it. I think we believe that Luo Xing can be a very, very powerful brand in China and Asia. And that's what we think about. We don't think about money people I know was like, oh, Grant, where are you going to take the money aspect to? Well, the business itself is generating significant cash flows. It's a very successful business, the resort business. We have a lot of pipeline resorts coming out. We have eight resorts that will be open in the next few years. Each one of them is very challenging in China to do a resort. It's not easy. In the countryside of China, it's very complicated. I'm now an expert on it, 11 years later. But, there may be an opportunity for the Hub business to look for an IPO. That's a very real possibility. There may be an opportunity for certain capital funds or whatever to invest in the resort business, or even for us to consider partnering or working with some bigger groups. We don't think about it every day. Right now, we just enjoy what we're doing.
You don't seem to want to play the capital markets part of the business that much.
I'm an old-fashioned guy in a way. I like to, make something and then, see if someone wants to buy it. And if they buy it, then they pay me. And that's how business should be done. I find this whole world of, fundraising and stuff, it's all a bit, it's a bit sometimes fake. It's like, forgetting what is the real business. The real business we offer is resort and lifestyle experiences for you when you want to take your family or company away for a work, or offering an office-based solution for our co-working business or our education business with Naked Discovery. And we internally in our company focus very much on our business. However, there is money to be raised if we want to grow, and that's what we did with Naked Up.
Okay. Last question.
Sure.
Having spent so much time building up a business in China, what is the darkest moment in this?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Who knows? You know, I think China, you know, you never know what tomorrow brings. So it's always a bit scary. The darkest moment was just after the financial crisis. I was, you know, three quarters of the way finished building Naked Stables. It was a $300 million RMB investment. I had very little money. And then the bank, the Chinese bank, I won't mention which one, needed to reduce their liquidity because Beijing said, reduce your liquidity. And then they took my money away from me. It was about 2 weeks before Chinese New Year. I think maybe it was 10 days before Chinese New Year. And all that money that they took was supposed to pay a lot of contractors and everything else, and I was in a lot of trouble. It was very scary. I actually had a mild heart attack, and luckily I had some friends that were able to short-term finance me. Actually, Hong Kong company that short-term financed me during that time had very exorbitant interest. But we made it through. We never sold equity. And that was one of the things that was very important to me.
Thank you so much for this.
It's my pleasure.